Well, I do get asked a lot what to do or how to get into ag.
Yeah.
And then
Is that a question you get asked a lot, eh? Yeah.
probably, I don't know, at least a couple of times a week. I
Really? Like,
want
is that New Zealand pilots or is that all around the world?
I don't actually know. I assume some of them I assume are overseas and some definitely are, but I assume most of them are in New Zealand.
Yeah.
I don't
So
know.
this podcast is just all about answering your questions that you get asked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we run out of things to say, good mate of mine, PT, wants to know why we work in Tailwinds, and sort of explain it.
Yeah, right,
So
yeah.
if the conversation runs flat, we can talk about that.
We can default to Tailwind operation, eh?
Yeah.
Perfect. I think I do a nicer landing with a Tailwind anyway, but it's
Yeah.
another
Well, I
matter.
like it because it means you got a headwind takeoff.
That's right, yeah. The bigger question is why do you only have one way airstrips?
Yeah.
Oh,
And
so what's your normal answer to getting into ag?
I would always say have a Google of your local operators, find out who's there, get in touch with them, and make yourself known, arrange a time to meet up with them, chew the fat, have a yarn, talk about whatever, and explain to them what you want to do and whatever your options are. Because at least in New Zealand, it's not far. Even if you're in the middle of the biggest city, it's still not far to go to an ag operator.
No, that's right. And that's why I do remember the old Wings directory. I don't know if they still do them. It was like a booklet and used to come out every few years, and it had like a directory of all the operators in New Zealand, like everything from
Oh.
135 to ag. And so I got like a copy of it, and I went through and I highlighted every ag operator that had more than three aircraft because I figured one man bands and two man bands would be pretty hard to,
Yeah.
but three and plus, it's me. And so I
That's clever.
got the addresses and then drove around the country and knocked on every single door.
Yeah.
So that's how I got to Andy. Yeah.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, because the Wings directory listed like who, what aircraft they had, what type of work they did, everything. Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Never heard of it, never seen it.
Oh, I'll find an old copy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a book, eh,
Yeah. It used to get printed every so many years.
Pete?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember John.
Shit, the
Yeah.
sun's shining there, hoodie.
Fuck, mate, she's always shining in grey, man.
Well, is it an ironic name then?
I don't know why they came up with grey mouth. It's definitely not that here. Everyone should move here
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
then get sick and buy stuff from the pharmacy,
The local
the
pharmacy.
local. Yeah,
Oh,
I think, I guess.
is there a good pharmacy, is it?
Yeah.
That's very subtle, hoodie.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And there's no mosquitoes or sandflies here, so don't come prepared for those things either.
I suppose the pharmacy would sell everything that you would need to,
Yeah.
prevent that from happening.
Well, we've
And
got the
to treat.
bloody, we've got the we've got. I had a giggle today. We've got the Coast to Coast Challenge tomorrow.
Yes.
It starts here
Does
from
it start
just.
tomorrow or does it start prepping up?
No, I'm pretty sure they go tomorrow.
Sure.
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock
Thursday.
tomorrow.
10th or
Oh, yeah,
12th?
you're right. Sorry, you're right. Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, come
Anyway.
on.
So we had people rolling in town coming into the pharmacy today, and they're looking for electrolytes. And I thought, you've left it till now to get your electrolytes, and you're relying on Greymouth
The pharmacy at Greymouth.
to have them. Yeah. But of course, we did
Did
everything you need, of course.
Well, you know what you sell them, eh? You just you know that those are
just.
those orange chassis. I can't say it. It's the orange little things that you take when you have diarrhea.
Hydrolyte.
Hydrolyte, yeah.
Oh,
But
yeah.
they are just electrolytes.
That's my
Oh,
go-to.
Perfect. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now we've got those two.
What?
What's that, Faye? What are you doing? Zed Tech.
No, no, I said we've got those too. We've got anything you need.
Oh, do you? Oh, it's good.
I just thought, is the most ear time I'm going to get because I'm waiting for you guys to kick me off soon. So I thought, I'll just get a quick promotional.
You're going to be sponsoring these soon, Hoodie.
Yeah. Proudly brought to you by
Greymouth Pharmacy.
Unikim Olsen's.
That's the one.
Tell
us, Hoodie, what would someone get to help not prevent sandfly bites, but once they've been bitten?
You know that bloody pine tassel or whatever it's called? Once you've got bitten or if you've had chicken pox or anything like that.
Yeah.
You can get it in a spray or you can put it in a bath or whatever. It's like a yellow. It comes out yellow and you think you're going to come out of the bath all yellow, but that stuff's incredible.
Is it?
Yeah.
Stops the itchiness.
Yeah, stops the itchiness. Dead in its tracks.
And do you sell remember? That?
Yep. Pine or something. Pine.
Man, I know it's got pine. If you knew what the actual name was.
Yeah.
Wow. No, because now it's a secret and you only get the answer at Unikim Olsen's. No, I can't remember. But no, that stuff's good. That stuff's the goods. That stuff. But yeah, don't ask me any more questions. It's only a sheer fluke that I knew the answer to that one. half of it, anyway.
I once had the, when I was flying the Fletcher and I was taxiing in, it was real hot and I had the canopy back in my, I was wearing my overalls, had my arm out with the, the sleeve open so the air can blow into the arm and get the air all through your body.
Yeah.
And a bee flew into there and stung me on my arm. Took me a while to get it out because it was right up there. I can't remember exactly where it stung me, but I had to stop first, obviously. I was taxiing through and then figure out what was going on and try and shake the thing out of my arm and then roll up my arm sleeve, pull it out. And it was a non-event for that anyway, but I shut down and got out and I started eating my lunch. It was a nice big, what do you call those, pizza bun rolls. Took forever to munching through it. And I was about halfway through. And it felt like I'd just gone to the dentist. You know when you get...
Yes. I know what's just happened.
No.
Anesthesia in there. And
yeah.
I thought I was going insane because it was a really bizarre feeling. It took me like 10 minutes to figure out I was eating all of the bee sting juice or whatever you call it.
You didn't even... It wasn't another bee. It was just what was on your hand.
Yep, just what was on my hand from picking the bee sting out and having it on my fingertips and then holding my bun, eating that.
I thought that you're just having a allergic reaction and it was just going up there.
No.
Yeah, I thought you were eating another bee. Because I had to take mum to the hospital at Christmas time. We're having a cup of tea and some Christmas cake. And all of a sudden, mum starts yelling and like her mouth all started closing up and she had eaten a bee, but it stung her back. Like we took her to the hospital and they pulled the stinger out, but it was right in the back of it, but all closed up and it was...
Sheepers.
Yeah. It wasn't fun. Yeah.
Those bloody XL vents, they're positioned down there. And even if you have them facing up to your face, if a bee comes in there, it just goes straight into your crotch or on your leg. And it's always on takeoff, so you're taking off and then you see it come in. So you're like, don't go anywhere. Just stay there. And you've got to try and get airborne before you can start.
And are you in your stubbies?
I used to be stubbies. I went towards overalls in the end.
Nice. Yeah, I always had a bee stole away. Like, they just come through the vent and just end up hanging out in the cockpit for a while.
Yeah.
The good ones in summertime, I only remember it in the Fletcher for some reason, but when the bees would smash against the little vent, the one that comes straight into the cockpit on the front canopy.
Yeah.
they would hit it, but then the room, the cockpit would smell like candy floss.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, it's really there cool. Never had that in the Cresco or XL or anything else, just in the Fletcher.
A bit of, yeah.
I don't know, what must have mushed it up and vaporized it to some extent, and all that came through were the little fumes of it. Or I'm just dreaming it, I don't know.
Sweet like honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good God.
Oh, this is, riveting stuff.
Yeah.
Did you see that news today of that bloody $1 billion worth of cocaine found in the ocean?
No. What, from a plane?
Oh, I don't know where it's come from. They just found it. Just in New Zealand waters.
What?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Mm.
I have heard there's a reason for it. It's been happening a bit, I think, apparently. What was it? Yeah, someone was telling me people drop off cocaine in one of the islands, but with the storms, it's been pushing it all our way.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you found that, why would you hand it in?
Yeah, well, so I was working in Guam. We were surveying Guam before COVID, and one of the ground handlers said that a guy there found the same thing in Guam, but he didn't hand it in. He kept it.
Good man.
But do you think you can keep a secret like that? Like, you're on an island like Guam, and all of a sudden a dude's rolling around.
All of a sudden, you're the funniest person on the island and the happiest.
Secret doesn't stay long, you know.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you're ripped and got heaps of energy.
Got caught.
And no bridge between your nasal cavities.
What's that movie with Tom Cruise? Have you seen that one?
American Made. Yeah.
Ah, that's a good movie.
It is good. And it's all true, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Top man.
That'd be a way to make a living.
Yeah, yeah.
To some extent. Maybe not for me. Oh, yeah, no, maybe for a little while. Same with spraying. Spraying the coca in wherever that is. South America, I presume. Yeah.
Is that with, like, the armoured planes?
The 802s was...
The guns. Have they got guns, or have they just got the armoured plating?
Armoured plating, and they got, like, Iroquois or gunships that follow them around, apparently.
Yeah.
What's the point of them being behind you?
I don't know.
To revenge your death.
That would have good danger money with it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Someone, I can't remember who, was telling me they got offered to go there decades ago, and he reckoned they'd be set up for life for him and for his kids with the amount just from doing one tour. I don't know how long a tour is, but yeah. I don't know why.
Life tour. Never come back.
I don't know why they don't use drones there. Like, why they got to have people go in and do it. Or at least have a fighter jet go in really fast and just blow each paddock up rather than have to spray it.
Yeah, high level way.
Oh, is that, it's not spraying it to help it grow, it's spraying it to kill it.
Yes.
I thought we were in the growing business.
Well, there'd be good money in that too.
Yeah.
And you probably won't get shot down.
No, I thought it'd be better money.
You'd be protected from those Iroquois gunships.
But that's why they're behind you, chasing you.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell,
yeah.
For the first job, you'd have to have an air grading, I suppose, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Depends on the life expectancy. Might not be worth it.
For the second job, I don't think it would matter as much. I don't think they'd care too much about
Because you got the hang credentials. There were people when we were in Africa, some of the guys in, where were we? DRC in Congo. And some of the fellas went and got some diamonds from in the markets. Did you ever go anywhere and see the diamond markets?
No. We're in Tanzania, and I know one of the operators' frequency got one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But did it get in the gym?
I hear too many dodgy stories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this was one of them. One of the operators, geophysicists that worked the computer in the survey plane, he went to the market one day, and we checked out the markets as well, and you could see the, it was the size of a basketball court type area, but it was just rows and rows of desks that were all one beside the other, and the next row would only be 2 meters away, and there were seats on one side of it, and everyone sitting down had their little handful of diamonds, and you'd just wander around and ask them what they've got and have a look.
Yeah.
And we went there and saw, I can't remember the price. It was dirt cheap anyway to go and get they're all uncut diamonds, but they, have you seen them? They still look like diamonds,
the diamond
shape, which confused me. I didn't realize that, but there you go. Yeah, and they had, there would have been thousands and thousands of diamonds there. The biggest one I saw, I don't know how to grade them, but you could chuck it on a ring and be doing pretty well off it. And that would have been, I think $20 was the cheapest for a tiny one. And then a real big one I saw, which looked real clear and looked good, that was $4,000 or $5,000.
Jesus.
But I never bought one. I was way too scared. One of the other fellas bought one, one of the operators.
Yeah.
He's South African, and he ended up having to get evacuated of sorts. As everyone found it, all the locals found out, there's a target on his head, so he got out of there.
Really?
Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know. I assumed they wanted to get him for, they knew he had money. I have no idea. But even we were targeted, I don't even know why. Like, we'd drive from the airport. This was in Bujimai in DRC. I don't know where that is, sort of the eastern side. Deep in there anyway. And just the drive from the airport to the hotel, not even a hotel, it was just a shoddy apartment. And one day we were driving back, and we just packed the plane up, left it to some local security guy, hopped in the car, hit traffic. Like, it was a 10-minute drive total, 5 minutes in, hit traffic. Someone spotted us, a local, and then don't know what he said, but everyone came over and surrounded the whole car. Would have been about 40 or 50 people. And I thought it was funny at first, but when our translator got really quiet and sort of things got a bit serious, it wasn't too pretty after that.
Became less funny.
Yeah. And it was apparently because they thought we were American.
Ah, right.
I don't know why they don't like Americans, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I did ferried through there a couple of times, and one time went pretty smooth, but the second time not so smooth. And then I did a job there somewhere in the south. I can't remember the name of the town, but yeah, I was me and another guy. We were just walking. I can't remember where we were walking, but these guys tried running us over. Sort of. Yeah. Wasn't overly nice, but yeah. One time ferrying through there, someone came up to us at the airport and asked to see our pilot's licenses, and had a big long argument with him about expiry dates. He's like, no, these have no expiry dates. These are, and I was like, no, it's lifetime. He goes, no, it's not possible. Where is the expiry date? And it got a bit heated.
Mm.
Was that in Kinshasa?
Yeah.
When we went through there, pulled up, had to pay a security to watch the security company that was supposed to be watching the plane. and then we pulled out, and you get let out, and then 10 meters later, there's the locals with their guns, and they've got a log across the road to get out of the airport. So you get let out the first barrier, but then you have to pay to get out the next barrier, and then you're away. But it's just crazy, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to pay.
Yeah.
Mm.
We had in Timbuktu, they had a barrier like that. But I think after a while, all the guys just got sick of it. So you're driving up, it's a big, long, straight road, but Sahara Desert, you know, all around. So we just drove around it. Because they just had some old drums and a piece of wood, you know, and so on the road. And so we just drove around it and they just all look at you and we're like, well, because we'd go past it every single day, you know?
Oh, golly.
Who did we? Our bribes weren't quite so bad in Angola anyway. In Luena, have one of you flown there? Did one of you take over that job? No.
No.
Must have been someone else. In eastern Angola, this town, the airport was an old, from the war. So Hercs and MiGs used to take off from there. There's an old Hind parked up in one of the hangars there, looking pretty sad. But anyway, we were the only people that stayed there overnight. During the day, there'd be some Russian Antonov turn up a few times and a Boeing 727. And for gas, there was this big old army, big dark green with a fuel tanker on it. That was what we got our gas from. And it took a crew of maybe a dozen people to fuel us up. And to start with, they wouldn't come straight away unless we bought them some Fanta or some orange drink. I don't even know what it was. I don't think it was Fanta. But if we didn't give them that, then we just had to wait and they'd just be dicks about it and just sit there and diddle around. It's not like anyone else was coming.
Yeah.
But we'd eventually came to some agreement. We'd give like the leader a can and go through and ration it out over a few days. And it had no it had no starter motor, this truck. So they all had to push start it and then crank, turn it, you know, put it into gear and pull the clutch out. And it had no brakes. So they had two people that were sitting there with the chocks when it needed to stop, shove the chock under. And then a third one down the other end to put the chock the other way because it would rock up on the chocks and roll backwards. And then eventually get ourselves all fueled up. And it was entertaining, to say the least. Good fun.
It almost sounds just like standard Africa, eh? Like, no brakes. Yeah. No starter.
Yeah.
They loved an engine light, eh? Oh. Just so you could get the most engine lights.
Yeah. No safety consciousness in their heads. Like, they get real close to the plane. So I'd always put my strobes on when I'd start up after refueling to try and scare them away, which led to me flying for 8 hours with my strobe lights on.
Oh, no. Tell the audience what happens when you're surveying, magnetic surveying with strobes on.
When you survey with the strobes on, you get these spikes in the data, and, well, it's not good. And that's
8 hours of not good.
Yeah, we did two flights that day, so it was the lunchtime refuel.
Yes.
And then I went out, so it would have been our best and biggest day, like, six full daylight we were out.
She did it twice.
I only did it once, but it was the afternoon shift where I took over, and I thought, well, if I'm gonna fly, I'll be safe, turn the strobes on, but I'll turn them off as soon as we get airborne.
Yeah, sure you will.
Yeah. Right. do your checklists, everybody.
That's right, that's why you have checklists.
Yeah, I was with Trusty then. Like halfway through a run, we'd been flying for hours, and I remember looking down and then like, oh, it sunk in that I left the strobes on and I turned them off, and he didn't say anything for a couple of minutes.
Then what did he say?
I can't remember exactly what he said, but you know him, he's pretty cruisy anyway. It was
pretty cruisy.
That's probably not good.
Yeah.
You would have said it like, just like that too.
Yeah. Pointing out the obvious, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really not good. Yeah. Straight up like that. Oh, should we go have a beer then? Yeah. It would have been quite,
yeah. Yeah, I felt pretty bad about that one. But oh well. Live and learn.
That's right.
Live and yep. learn.
No, that stuff's all full of great adventures over there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that place, Luena, that was cool for looking at some planes. Off the end of the runway, a Hercules crashed, and you can go drive on the road to the local demining company, NGO, non-government organization that does the demining.
What's demining? Like...
Landmines, demining.
Ah, right, yeah. Gotcha.
So there's 5,000 land, or there were when we were there, 2007, I think it was, 5,000 landmines all around the airport, just around the runway.
Yeah.
And the fighting stopped, obviously, and these guys know the guy who planted all the landmines, so they're using him to help find them all.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah, so we were having a beer with him, the guy that planted all the landmines around there.
Yeah, and right.
When you sidetracked a bit there, but when you drive to the demining compound, you cross the extended center line, and then right beside the road there's an engine, and apparently that's from the Herc that crashed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, pretty cool. And we went somewhere for a lunch or a tea with some random people one day, and you go for a drive down the shoddy road. I call them reverse roads because instead of having potholes, the whole road was gone apart from like a small section where it was all raised up, and there would be like sections of raised sealed bits, so no one ever drove on the road. You just drove beside it. That was the best thing, or the safest thing and smoothest. But we'd go for a drive out to somewhere, I think it was with the demining group, and walk through this maize field and then go and have a cup of tea with these people there and catch up with them. Actually, it might have been the person who planted all the landmines. And as you're walking through the maize field, you look down and there's little twigs that are arranged like in a square, several twigs that are arranged there, and just in amongst all of the maize that's growing. And we're asking them about it, and it's all the landmines.
Don't stand here.
Yeah, that's how they mark it. So they still...
With twigs.
Yeah, with twigs. They still farm that whole area.
Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, crazy.
Just don't step on the twigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Far out.
Yeah, and don't get a flat tire and go off the side of the runway or off the end of the runway because the landmines are still there.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah,
that's a different element, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The only way you can be the most certain about demining is by physically on your tummy, crawling through with a knife and poking. You said that's what they were saying. That's the only way to do it. They were training rats. They trained, what else did they? All these random animals, but they said rats were the best ones.
And the rats blow up.
No, they just sniff them out because the rats
sniff them out.
Yeah, they were light enough to not set them off. I think the dogs could set some of them off.
Gotcha.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Landmines are.
I saw just like a plow, and tracks just going through, and it was just setting them off.
Yeah.
But it didn't. Why don't they do that?
They've got those as well. Those big armored vehicle thingy with a big long arm out the front and chains that just constantly flip it.
Jesus.
Yeah, they said that's not 100% because it could easily miss one.
Miss one.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, we got told about all the different types of mines, like the anti-personnel ones or the ones that they shoot. You stand on it and it pops up to like waist height or something first and then explodes.
Oh,
way more carnage, eh?
Yeah. Designed to maim you. I think they didn't want to kill you because if they kill you, then you're dead. You're out of the game. But if they hurt you, then
you're taking two or three others. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, like a good maiming. Yeah,
that's right.
You were talking about an Antonov before. Those Antonovs would go into Burkina Faso. Did you see them go in there?
Yeah, I've never been there, but yeah, those big four-engine ones.
Yeah. All the two-wing ones. Two-engine ones. The Antonov 24s.
Oh, the smaller one.
Yeah, I think the smaller ones are 24.
Yeah, 24, yeah.
They'd go into... It's quite funny to see them go in there. The back would come down. The crew would come out with a table and chairs. They'd sit down and then just smash vodka while the plane got loaded. And then it would just walk back onto the plane. So it's loaded. They'd just take off.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
We, in Mongolia, we had to have a Mongolian navigator fly with us because Mongolia is one of the few places in the world where the local controllers don't speak English.
Yeah.
It's all Mongolian, so one of the requirements was we had to have him on board. He couldn't speak English either. But he could understand it. So I could talk to him and he'd know what I'm saying, but he couldn't talk you back think? To me. Yeah.
But I understand you. Yeah.
Any time we weren't flying, he'd be like, Come. And we'd go with him and the controller, and we're sitting like the controller's room. And that, like, first time it was me, because me and Rob were doing it. And he's like, tea? And we're like, okay, tea. And so we halfway through our teacup, he only had two teacups for all four of us. So we're sharing the two teacups. And about halfway through the tea, they tip the tea out and pull it with vodka and go, here. And then it was like half an hour of vodka drinking, and they were good as gold. But me and Warwick were like, wow, like it hit us on our ass.
What was old the guy in Ouagadougou that George swore by, the taxi driver that he made everyone else get?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, whenever you got a good taxi driver, you'd stick with him, mate.
Yeah, you'd hang on to him, mate.
100%.
But he'd always take you to that club called?
The Appaloosa.
The Appaloosa, he'd take you to that. Yeah. And he'd be more smashed than you.
Oh,
and
really?
And he'd always drive you home, but.
Yeah. What country is this?
It's Mali again.
Oh, was it Mali? Are you talking about Bamako?
No, it was when we got moved from Bamako.
Oh, was there another Abelisa?
Yep, there was two.
Oh, right. I only went to the one in Bamako.
Because once the Taliban and stuff came down to Bamako level...
You got locked up for a while, didn't you?
We didn't get locked up. We just got a scare. Like, we were meant to stay in one place...
As in something happened or something could have happened.
Could have, but we didn't end up staying there. But they came down and took over bloody motels and stuff like that we could have potentially been in.
The Taliban did, while you were there?
Yeah. I think there was a crew after us that got shipped out because of it.
Wow. Did you meet any?
No. But But that's why the base got shifted over to is it Ouagadougou? I think.
Isn't that Burkina Faso? Ouagadougou? I don't know.
Yeah, how do you say it? Ouagadougou.
Ouagadougou.
Yeah, bring it up on your bloody map.
This is it's gonna be people listening to us just thinking we're butchering it.
Yeah.
it's pronounced Yongadongi. Ouagadougou.
It's just to the east of Burkina Faso. Oh,
New South Wales and Australia.
It is in Burkina Faso.
Oh, sorry, it's in Mali. That's all I don't know.
I thought I'm pretty sure you got your marbles mixed.
You're thinking mixed bag of marbles, Pete.
Because there was the Abelus and Bamako,
and
then over to the east of Bamako. The country Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
And then it's got Ouagadougou.
Oh, yeah.
Ouagadougou.
Yeah, as the capital.
And that's where because our main that base was.
Yeah. And was so that became the base.
That became the base.
That was my second to the last, or it was my last African job. I took the plane from Ivory Coast to there.
And that taxi driver there that everyone sort of had after after George dubbed him worthy. Yeah, it was him.
In Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never would have met him. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. No, he's a bloody good bugger.
Keep the good ones.
Mm.
But fuck, he was a pussy. But loved it.
We had a really good one in Ethiopia, in the capital, and we'd use them. I ended up staying there for a good week or two and just paid him a daily rate, and he'd just turn up at 10 o'clock.
Happy years, eh?
Yeah. Outside.
Yeah.
Might only go one or two places a day, but he was happy as. And
best money he's made in his life, probably, yeah. He's just riding high.
I've still got a, you'll have to dig that. I've got a shirt somewhere. He bought it for me when I left. I told him I was going home, and he gave me a shirt. It's like made out of the potato sack material.
Oh, really?
You know, that real itchy. It was in white, and I put the thing on, and the thing was like a blanket. It was massive. He didn't know much English, but he knew enough to say, this for you. You, yeah. Very fat. Thanks, bro.
Please.
He was probably meaning it as a compliment, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah,
very,
I'm sure,
very
it was.
Healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I told myself anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, funny. There was a lot of good times over there. It's funny how when you're over there and thinking, fuck, this isn't that good, but bloody good fun to go back there and do that all again.
Mm. Yeah. Good character building. Good character building.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, at the time, I don't know if I was enjoying it. It wasn't until I was out of there and home and you could process it. And
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work. A lot of work.
Yeah.
Like, nothing came easy.
But when you think back, all crews were young.
Oh,
and we had it. And, you know, so everyone made a bloody good time of it whenever you could.
For the most part, we all got on.
Yeah, that's some good of those stories that didn't, though, isn't there? But,
yeah. And then your nights at the Abelisa, like when we had it, when we did it, you know, let go.
Oh, the boys trying to creep onto the bloody Knight Riders, Jesus Christ.
Wasn't it the other way around, the Knight Riders kind of creep onto the boys?
Oh, I don't know. In the Abelisa, there's some pretty tidy imports, I think, that got bloody shipped in there.
Imports are just there to look at.
Yeah, no touchy.
Yeah.
But you'd look at them all night, and then take home. Oh, the old jungle fever come creeping in.
Don't forget who's listening, buddy.
I just think that, buddy, we could, that's probably... There should have been a quicker rotation, you know. Maybe a month to a, not this fucking over 2 month business. But
yeah, 1 month, you know, it's not bad. But then once you go in 2 or 3 months, you know,
yeah.
You go, man.
Yeah. Oh, Miss Palmer's no good anymore.
Should we just leave it at that, eh?
Yeah, sorry. Old, how do we go there? No, it was good times.
Yeah.
That Kiwi Air crew must, you know, I wonder what the number was in the end of people.
Like how many people? Heaps.
Yeah.
Because, like, I joined back with Kiwi Air in 2019, and I think we had something like, it was like 12, 13 pilots in India at the time, you know?
Yeah, right.
And that's all new crew that was long after our time.
Because in the height of it, how many planes was it, XLs, dotted around the world?
We had a Cresco, two twins.
Yeah.
And then we had XLA, XLA, XLB, JBC, SWA, FNZ. I feel like I'm forgetting one. Yeah, so that's 8 aircraft.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And then XLE came in.
XLE came in.
So then the 3 pilot crew, and they're all on rotation with each other.
Yeah.
So not bad for a little,
little Gizzy-based company.
That was pretty well done.
How many
pretty
hours did you guys have when you started surveying? Because that was both your first
flying jobs. Yeah, 270. Yeah.
I think I was about the same.
Yeah. And that's where it was good, you know, giving the young guys a good start and, you know.
On a turbine.
On a turbine.
Yeah.
Responsibility.
Yeah.
A lot even of though trust. You were with senior boys that had been doing a bit already, but
it was always good oversight. You know, he's always someone you're never put on your own. You're always with a senior guy, so it was always good. And like the support you needed, yeah, it was always, you know, for the most part, pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember when I first started, and I did. Was it 1 month you do or 2 months normally? Whatever it was, I can't remember.
Don't say normal with me.
Pete would do year on, month off.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's actually just a week off, Pete. You got to carry on.
Yeah.
I did my first stint ever. That was in Tanzania, and then got asked to stay on to do another run because I think the fella who was going to carry on, he quit. Oh, no, he didn't quit. He left and was going to go fly Air New Zealand or something. And I filled his spot and I was like, oh, yeah, I could. Yeah, sure. I was keen to anyway, but all I could do was some Milky Bar and some dip and stuff.
Yes.
And I don't know
did
what
you get
I was.
It?
Yeah, I got it. Yep.
Yeah.
The reduced cream in the cans was curdled though, so the dip was not very tasty. I think we were. We're staying at a nice hotel in this place, Tabora.
Was Tabora.
Right in the middle, I think, of the country. Yeah, it's quite neat. Little Orion Hotel, Orion. And there are a couple of English expats there that were nurses, and we were trying to impress them. And
I was
trying to impress them with the kiwi dip and how good it was. And then it arrived and we had this big massive party and the dip was terrible.
And they moved on. Well, like, we're not impressed.
And they left.
Yeah. You need better dip than that.
Yeah. Now, that was cool. I did.
Yeah.
I think my first week I did 60 hours. Something stupid like that, and the first month I nearly doubled it. So I was the same as you, Pete. I had less than 300 hours when I started, and then did 200 hours in my first month.
Yeah,
so I nearly,
massive, eh?
Yeah, was steep learning curve from going from little Cessnas to Cessnas at 110 knots or whatever to 130 knots ground speed. Treetop height, flying a straight line for 8.5 to 10 hours a day.
Yeah, that's different. But like, especially like where we're working in Africa, where the weather is good for the most part, you could go out and do it. You know, it's not like here in New Zealand where you go out for half a day and the weather's craps out. And
Well, okay, that first job that I did was up in north of Auckland, and the fog just hung around
Northland.
All day.
Did you do the Northland job in the RTP?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was the first 2 weeks that we set up there, we bloody drank beers. Like, there was nothing to do. I thought, I like flying jobs. I think being a pilot was a good decision. I did nothing.
How high were you surveying up there?
I can't remember.
Was it low?
Yeah, it was sort of like 100 and
it was low.
Feet.
Yeah, I think got into a bit of trouble in the end from Bonga, from all the towns, because we were going straight over the town.
Potion.
You know, you'd hit the town and then you'd go up a wee bit and drop back down the other side. And but big country up in there, eh?
Yeah, yeah. It's really, like, I did a little bit of that job, and I'd never been to Northland. I didn't realise how nice it was up there.
Yeah, very nice.
Like, Kerikeri, because we were based in Kerikeri.
Oh, you're a bit further up.
Yeah.
And you go coast to coast, eh, and you'd be, like, shit coast, and then beautiful, blue sea and then back to the shit coast and then.
Are you saying the west coast was the shit coast? I think it was.
No, I just mean like the beach. The beaches are just, you know, they're just so gnarly.
Are they grey?
Just, yeah. Yeah, good pharmacies though.
Good pharmacies.
Yeah, I did the west coast from Franz Josef down to Haast.
Yeah, that's right. It was one of your first ones, wasn't it?
My last one.
Oh, your last one.
Yeah, I think it was the last one. We went out from the base of the hills there and then like 40 k's out to sea.
Yeah, right.
So to go, but we're going parallel with the coastline. So we'd do some days where you're just like doing mad climbs to get over the mountains, and other days where you're just flat going over the sea. We had some of Andy's mates call us wanting to mark spots where the skipjacks were.
Really? Go do some fishing.
Yeah. Don't think we ever saw any though.
Yeah. I was flying off down there once, just off the coast, and like saw a massive like group of dolphins swimming just off the coast. Oh, yeah. Sort of a fox. Yeah.
And were they definitely dolphins?
Oh, definitely dolphins. Oh, yeah. Hundreds of them. Hundreds of them.
I think we saw some too.
Yeah.
I have to dig through the archives and have a look for them.
Yeah, I've got an old photo, but it's from the old film day photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A real camera.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good stuff.
Bloody good.
How you getting on there, Hoodie?
No, living the dream, mate. Every day. Had a bloody good weekend. I caught up with some fellow aviators, Jake Greed. We went and stayed with him down at Wanaka.
Oh, nice. Did you rope him into joining us?
Yeah, no, he said he came to come on and talk a bit of rubbish.
Good.
And who else just randomly popped in? Johan? Did you guys fly with Johan?
Yeah, I used to fly with Johan.
Yeah, Wanaka.
Yeah. Yeah, he's down in Wanaka there, lives down there. And then who else? Oh, Kent McKenzie pulled in, just happened to be going for a bloody... Kent McKenzie
did he do
from
some
down.
Kiwi air?
No, I know, but he's down McKenzie Aviation, top juicing. Yeah, and Gore there, yeah. Gore. But no, he just happened to be going driving past, so called in and had a beer, but nice. Yeah, it was a bloody good weekend. Catching up with the lads. That was a good thing about Kiwi air, wasn't it? Was how many people you met. It was just unreal.
Yeah.
Some bloody good mates.
Quite a few are in the airlines now as well, eh?
Yeah.
Is that right?
There's a big mix of people, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some went to Aussie with Qantas, or New Zealand Qantas, whatever it was called, but...
Yeah.
And there's a couple...
Emirates.
Oh, really? Emirates?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit.
Joycey went to Emirates.
What's he flying, the 380 or the 777?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Big whatever it is.
Big, yeah. And then there's a few in Air New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's three in town here that I flew with that are with Air New Zealand now. Two on the 777.
Yeah.
One a training captain on the ATR.
Yep. And a few guys flying private jets now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be interesting to chat to everyone and see what sounds like the best better option out of what everyone took.
Yeah, was it top dressing or was it private jets or the airlines?
Yeah, because there's a few different paths taken.
Have you ever thought about the airlines or any other?
Yeah, I'd go airlines.
Too dumb. Pete's smart enough.
I thought you were saying you're too dumb to be. Are you saying you're too dumb to be an airline or being an airline pilot is too dumb?
No, I'm too dumb.
No, you're not.
No, yeah. I don't think you realise how many times I failed just to get my bloody instrument rating.
Well, I know every time you're renewing your BFR, I get the phone call.
I do my BFR next week, and I ring up Pete, and he's like sending me through all this shit. I was like, I'm done.
What, for the exam, the little written?
Yeah.
Yeah, the little tiny one, yeah.
It used to be whenever he had to do his ag renewal, I used to get a phone call.
How do you do every year it'll be the same thing? You think you just remember from last year. How do you do a weight and balance? I said, oh, fuck, I hate this shit. Yeah. I don't want to do this.
Well, to be fair, those weight and balances are like an English proficiency nightmare.
Yes.
They'd go from pounds to centimetres to inches and in the Fletcher or Cresco ones. Used to do my head in.
Just a lot of rubbish, really.
Yeah.
Well I've got here.
Carry on.
I was going to say, what I got here, shall I pull out that exam and we can work through it?
Do it as a team. Team effort. What time does the sun rise? what zone it is in. Yeah.
That'd be embarrassing for me. Should know some of that.
Yeah. Oh, so bad. So bad.
Yeah, I would have given the airlines a go. I applied for Air New Zealand after Kiwi Air.
What did they say?
They said,
yeah. I thought there would have been a certain percentage put aside for blokes like you.
like who, Sam? I don't understand what you're saying. You might have to be a bit more specific.
Certain ethnicities may have been allocated certain slots.
Well, you should apply then.
Well, it didn't work out anyway. I got offered the job. But it
did you?
I bet you if you went back there now these days, you'd definitely get it. It's come a long way since then.
Why have you applied? Are you speaking from experience?
No. Tell us about your experience there, Bert.
It was good.
Did you go through the interview process?
No, I never got that far. I spoke to.
If you just got there.
So you submitted a CV.
I rang the lady in Hamilton. I think it was Hamilton. It was. Who had the 1900s?
It would have been Eagle, yeah.
Eagle.
Yeah.
Rang Eagle because someone else was flying there from Kiwi Air. And they were the small ones. Rang them up. I think it was a lady, Wendy. Lovely lady. I was like, I just got all this hours and need a job. Don't want to go back to not flying. And she's like, yeah, cool. What have you got? Oh, just single turbine. Do you have a multi? Oh, nah. But I can get
multi-culture
one.
Background. Yeah. That's really
amazing. When you talk, honey, you have to talk quiet and we can't understand you.
Oh, sorry.
I did not understand much of that.
It must have been funny, though.
Yeah. Well, I said you should have said, when she asked for your multi, you should have said a multicultural background and then... You would have had an opening right there to me just start rattling names off.
I can just see everyone banning this podcast now.
Mate, you're just getting us cancelled.
I'm not. We are being inclusive.
A good thing that you're sponsoring us now.
Yeah. Once again, sponsored by Grey Mouth Pharmacy.
Where you can get your electrolytes or start of the coast to coast.
Yeah. That's right.
Day
come again.
It doesn't matter. We got it.
We stocked up for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I got the job. I just needed to go get my multi-instrument and get it converted over, which was when I went to go and do my multi. I think it's like 10 hours or 15 hours. If you got a single instrument rating, you can do a multi just a straight multi rating, and your instrument rating can be blended into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it saves you a bucket load of money.
So you just go do your multi rating, so your 5 hours or whatever it is, and then just do your instrument renewal.
Something like multi. That, yeah. It ended up being a lot cheaper than starting out as a multi instrument anyway.
Yeah.
But that was when I did my first flight, that 1.3. which I have to keep writing in my logbook on every new page, 1.3 hours in a multi, and did that flight, and that was when the instructor was going through my logbook and checking my licenses, and realised I didn't have a single IFR.
How did you not have a single IFR? Is that when you didn't hand in the paperwork?
That's when I didn't hand in the paperwork.
Yeah.
And it was going to cost a lot more money to redo it. So
yeah,
that was the end of that.
You would have made a good airline pilot.
Thank you, Sam.
Very good on the PA system.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quite important.
It would have been. I reckon you would have been much more suited there than sitting on the end of the runways with your group of mates. Checking pictures
in here. He'd still be doing it. Still I'd doing still both. There.
On your days off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be surprised at the amount of interesting people you meet. I met a chap who's a 787 captain for Japan Airlines or ANA. I can't remember which one. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit in the head.
There you go. Would never have met him otherwise.
No. Quite the social thing.
It is. It is. Yeah. Do you reckon those pilots in the airlines try and do the Family Guy thing where they drag out the PA talk and...
I have heard of... I have been on a plane where one of them 100% yes. I won't say his name, but he was a gizzy...
Someone you know?
Yeah. And every time he came on the PA, like he came on more than any other pilot, and every time he introduced himself as, this is your captain speaking, you know, and then put his name, captain, and like, I'd laugh, like by the time I finished the flight, I was like, holy fuck, this guy's just taking a piss now.
Who was it?
Yeah, I'm not saying, not naming names.
Make a name up that
we can refer back to him.
Yeah. Fuck! Imagine Paul. Sam Paul. Being in there.
Ah, oh, could you? Couldn't you?
Jesus. Captain Hoodie.
Ex-Kiwi pilot who got into the airline games, but I think it was his first job, and it's a 135, you know, small regional one. And he, I think, flying a caravan. I remember him telling us, like, his first flight, he just, you know, like, you know, with X hours, you can just pull it back and they just drop, like, a rock. He did that, and the boss is like, you can't do that, man. Like, you can't have a 3,000-foot descent rate in a caravan.
Hopping with passengers.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Ex-top dressing pilot. Ex-top dressing pilot. Won't name names, but decided that he wanted to give the airlines a try in his Air New Zealand. And, you know, the same sort of thing his whole life, because he was a bit further on in his career. So, you know, he had his whole life, he's just been coming back onto airstrips with a big bloody dumbbell turn and, yeah, big wing over and bring it back in. And he did that in the bloody big... Q300.
I would imagine so. I could imagine. Because I've been flying the twin, the 406.
Yeah.
And like when I was just getting recurrent on it again, dude sitting next to me, he keep going, can't be doing ag landings. Because I just come in and get quite slow and pull the nose up. And he's like, nah, like if your engine stops now, we're really up shit creek sort of thing. You got to fly it on. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like every time I come in, it's like 110 knots, 110 knots, 110 knots.
Does it feel right though?
Nah, you feel like your like nose is way too low. You're going way too fast. But it works out. After a few landings, you get it
back into you.
Yeah,
it's the hardest landing or approach for me is one where you're joining long finals. Like anything more than a mile out, I get so confused and I just can't do it. Unless they've got those puppy peppy lights.
Do you always come in quite hot, like high?
Yeah,
like a steep approach.
Yeah, which screwed me up on. I did a BFR once in a 172. And I was way too high, and then go to Idle, and there's no beater, and
She's not coming down.
You just want to put in like a quick little turn, eh, and come back around again, and he'll be right.
Yeah. Yeah, if it's a constant turn all the way to the deck, then I'm so much more comfortable in doing an approach. But a long in, from an economy side, you know, you want to get there as quick as possible, but slow down at the right time, not too early, and have to put power in and all that sort of crap. But yeah, good fun.
Yeah.
Captain Hoodie. You'd fly a 777, wouldn't you?
Oh, should you?
I'd love to give it a burn. Have you had a go on a proper sim?
Nah. Have you?
No. I know Andy won a I've got flight sim on my computer.
Oh well, that's basically a sim, isn't it?
Yeah, a little joystick here.
Basically a 777 cockpit. Yeah. Full motion.
I'm pretty much you got your captain.
You got your your chair just spins around, does it?
Do you put your hat on when you jump on there?
Yeah, I've still got my Kiwi Air shirts with the epaulets. I've got those stored away somewhere, I think.
How many epaulets did you get up to?
I think I've got 5 bars on mine. What did you get up to?
Yeah, I got a 7 bar.
Oh, shit.
One gold star as well. They get you anywhere in Africa, eh?
Shit, yeah.
Like, you just walk up like you own it.
Yeah.
Well, the first time I went through, everyone else had 4 bars and I had fucking 2 or something. Everyone else walked through and I got stopped. That was my injury.
This isn't too bad territory. You're not
out of here. Whoa. No. We've got to check you. And they just walked straight through. No questions, nothing.
Yeah.
It should have just been a 4-bar policy over there, you know. Because it got you everywhere. But nah, had to make the little fucking diddles feel like even smaller diddles.
Totally does work, man. And you had to, I reckon you had to be more arrogant over there.
Yeah, you had to own it, eh? Yeah.
If you weren't, then you just got walked over by everyone.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
As soon as you had that arrogant attitude, you got whatever you wanted.
Yeah. And as soon as they started losing their laugh, and then suddenly they spoke English, you know, you'd be losing because they thought they had you, but yeah. And they're all buddy-buddy.
I managed to get a whole, in Addis Ababa, the capital in Ethiopia, like a full proper international thing with a bunch of terminals and all that crap. I managed to get my way in there just wearing my uniform and get a bus, a whole bus, like a transport bus that goes and picks the planes that park out on the apron instead of at the terminal.
And then they would have dropped you off at your bus and gone, what the fuck?
It wasn't for me. It was for the big boss, man. He was coming in late because I think he missed his flight and he was going out on probably Emirates. And he was going to land after check-in closed. But I turned up there, my epaulets, my 4 bars, and went straight to the business first class counter. I was like, I need this. I've got a captain arriving at whatever time. It's going to be too late. You need to hold this desk open and clear him through. And they're like, yes, sir. No problem. Now take me to where the transportation bus is because I need one.
And we got whisked away.
Look at you demanding.
Got whisked away to somewhere in the airport and found a bus driver and was like, gave him $200 or something like that. You need to wait here and at whatever time this plane's going to land with this registration. It's parking here. As soon as it lands and shuts down, you need to pull in. And he did, pulled in, picked Andy up, and everyone else ended up jumping in. Took them to the terminal, went straight to check-in, and there were always like 3 or 4 people there waiting for him like he was proper VIP. And they all grabbed all his bags and yes sir, and went straight through, right through to the boarding lounge, and the flight was delayed, so it didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Bit of arrogance goes a long way there. Good times. Good times. Mm.
Well, yeah.
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 We might. That time of the night.
What's your bloody cool sign going to be, Birches? I'm sure you'll be doing one once we all hang up.
Oh, like a sign-off.
I'm pretty sure he's got one, mate. He just hasn't told us it.
He cuts you and me off. And
Yeah.
That's Kitchen Jimbo signing off.
Well,
make sure you share and like.
If you had a listen to the podcast, which are live now, Hoodie, you'd know the ending.
Well, I'm fucking here. Why would I want to listen to this shit again?
But it might be edited.
Yeah, it might be. What do you do? I don't. I'll tell you what. What should I do? You tell me. What's the Hoodie special? What would you do?
As I was just taking out my phone last time, I'm sure you were saying something. You're like, I don't know, saying something weird. Just for the
sake. I was probably apologising for Sam Hood and everything he said.
Yeah.
It was a good call.
Yeah. I tell you what, Hoddy, you take it away. You have the floor. The final words. Isn't that what they do on some of these talk shows?
No, mate, I'm good. It's always a pleasure, never a chore. That's a good one. Yeah.
Sounds like someone has been thinking about it.
No.
Are we still going next week, or is that when your God Zone is, Pete?
No, I'm still good next week.
Cool.
No, we'll go next week. Should we ask Mr. Jacob to come on and say g'day?
Yeah. How do we whet everyone's appetite for Mr. Jacob? He's flown everywhere, he's done everything, and now we get to find out the rest.
And he's, there's that other thing too. That
tune in to find out more.
What is the other thing?
No, I can't talk about that on this public forum.
Well, you can't do that, Hoodie. You can't say there's this other thing and then not tell them.
Everyone knows what I'm saying. You two know.
We both know because we know Jake, but no one else may know Jake.
Oh, he's got a big dangler. He's bloody embarrassing to pee next to in the urinal.
Yeah.
You sort of like end up just like just cocking that way just another 10 or 20 degrees so that he can't fucking diddle shame you.
A bit of an offset approach.
Yeah, offset approach. Countering the crosswind.
Well, hopefully I'll be there. I'll be in Aussie this time next week.
He's off golf.
Yeah. I'm off in the
morning. It'd be a different time zone. Do you want us to do it later?
No, because then it'll be even later for you guys. We'll try and make it work.
Yeah.
See what happens. Should be good. Hopefully it's not hot. But yeah, what is it? 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. I'm leaving in 6 hours.
Are you? Oh, good luck.
And today?
I haven't packed yet. Yep.
How's your license?
Haven't got a license either.
You may not be flying this time next week.
So I might be freer than free this time next week.
Yeah. You might be loading.
Yeah, I might be. Yeah. We'll
see how. You'll be on the loading site with one of those things that you've got on, Pete.
The little earmuffs and the little radio talkie-walkie.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, cheers, boys.
All right, gentlemen. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, mate.
See you later.
Next time. See everyone. Hooroo.
Hooroo.
Boop.